Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In the NFL, posted a video across their various social media accounts on Thursday night, in which they say, among other things, quote, "We will not be silenced. We assert our right to peacefully protest. It shouldn't take this long to admit." By the way, we have the video, right, Nash? This is the video portion of that the NFL players posted last night.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Incredible. Players participating: Davante Adams, Jamal Adams, Saquon Barkley, Anthony Barr, Odell Beckham, Ezekiel Elliott, Stephon Gilmore, DeAndre Hopkins, Eric Kendricks, Jarvis Landry, Marshawn Lattimore, Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson, Sterling Shepard, Michael Thomas, Deshaun Watson, and Chase Young. Before we hear the commissioner's response, what did you guys think of that? Because I was speechless when I first saw that video.
I thought it was particularly well done because it wasn't just about George Floyd, but it speaks out to the fact that there have been a lot of George Floyds over the years. The other thing was me being cranky. I thought it was more conciliatory than I'd want. I'd want to be angrier, but that's probably the right tone to take. And the fact that a lot of people sat in to do that is also good. I wish there were more white faces, because ultimately this can't be about only one group of people seeing the wrong. The NFL lives on optics. And one of the optics I would like to see the next time they do something, and I suspect that will be soon, if they want to continue to drive sort of the narrative here, is for white players to be there too, because they're there. And I don't want white players only to be speaking when they have to apologize for something stupid they said 2 days earlier.
To your point, Ray,
I agree with you.
Was there a quarterback in there?
Mahomes.
All the biggest stars in this league are quarterbacks. We had Mahomes and Watson there.
Yeah, Watson, yeah.
I would love to see Brady and Rodgers. I mean,
Rodgers would certainly do it.
Rodgers would definitely do it. I don't know about Brady, but you could ask, you know, who are the biggest stars in the league? Get them in there, you know, and the fact that there's no white faces makes me wonder if that wasn't deliberate and fair enough. Like, I'm not going to tell people how to do that, but I'm with Ray that, you know, part of this is the NFL admitting that the white people in the NFL have to get this right, because as we've discussed over and over again, most of the positions of power are held by white people.
hard to disagree, but to me, this particular video, the one that they posted last night, was more powerful because it was African-Americans. But I understand what you're saying and going forward.
No, I think you may be right too, yeah. Whitey, yeah. that in this forum, mm-hmm. for because of the issue and because they're speaking directly to the pain they're feeling, that maybe that was the yes. goal of this video.
Yeah, I think so. That's how I took it anyway. Here is the commissioner's response video today.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
Anyone questioning the sincerity of that certainly comes from a wise place, as you guys do, and I understand that. And, of course, we all question the sincerity. That said, I still think, to me, that is significant that he had to respond this quickly. Yeah, I think so.
I agree with you. I think it's progress. Quickly, speaking of progress, unrelated breaking news, Susan Slusser reporting in the Chronicle that John Fisher is reversing course and they will pay minor leaguers. The quote is, I concluded I made a mistake. And he sort of talked to nice. Susan for, it seems like, an interview that covered a lot of things. He'll also be setting up an assistance fund for furloughed employees. So John Fisher listening to the people, I assume it's that as opposed to hearing his own conscience.
Applause to him, because he could have been insincere and just done it 3 days later after everybody called him every name in the book. And he also did it after a bunch of other teams cut a number of minor leaguers outright.
He had cover now.
Yeah, well, he had cover, but yeah. also, you know, if he was worried about the PR, he wouldn't have let it fester for 10 days. Now, I'm not giving him points for doing the right thing after doing the wrong thing. But I'm not going to kick him because this seems less like a PR move and more like just an acknowledgement that what he did was needless and stupid. Here's something else that's not terribly related to that, but it is. Bruce Meyer, who is the head labor negotiator for the Major League Players Association, sent a letter to MLB today that begins, "We're disappointed that you're purportedly shutting down negotiations after making one proposal demanding $800 million in further pay cuts. We reject your invitation at the end of the letter to negotiate against ourselves," which suggests to me that the union's walking away from the table that the owners refused to set.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. And thank you. Thank you, Matt, for bringing that up. But as far as the commissioner goes,
yes,
Ray, would
quickly.
You feel any?
Oh,
yes.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to add one thing to it.
Yeah. Okay.
The one obvious mistake here, because, look, I mean, we can all question sincerity. And I think you were making the point, Whitey, that we're going to see, like, we don't know. We'll see the answer to that eventually. But it's a failure not to mention Colin Kaepernick in this.
I'll tell you what, it's not only a failure to mention Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, it's to not.
It's a failure to do it from your rec room. Okay? Oh. If he wants to show what the league's commitment is to this newfound initiative, let's see his ass out on the street marching with people. I mean, let's see him put his money where his video is. And I know he can't do that immediately, but... He's in New York. And New York's basically been just one rolling protest for the entire week. If he wants to do what he says he's going to do, let him put his feet where his video is.
Meanwhile, Chilton Auto Body opened to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. Coming up, more on the commissioner's statement today. Also, baseball's future, harder to see than the names on the backs of those horrible D-back snakeskin jerseys. But its past remains a source of great joy and amusement. We celebrate that, too. Coming up, Whitey in for Damon. Damon Radokolsky on a Friday, 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Damon today. Happy, happy Friday. Interestingly, today, this afternoon, we have a response from Roger Goodell, the Deputy Commissioner of the NFL, to the incredibly powerful video that NFL players posted last night. They demanded that the NFL condemn racism and a systematic oppression of black people. They demanded that the NFL admit wrong in silencing players from peacefully protesting. The commissioner did that today. He didn't mention Colin Kaepernick by name, but I think, to me, it's significant that at least he had no choice. I know we all question the sincerity, but he had no choice. And to me, that speaks, Matt, as you said, speaks to some progress being made here.
The NFL has joined us at the starting line of this thing, right? Do they deserve tremendous credit for pushing things forward? No, not at all. Far from it. I'm not even sure credit is the right word for what they deserve. But is it true that they have now joined us at the starting line by putting some words on paper about this, by putting Roger Goodell on a crappily shot video about this? Yeah, congratulations. Welcome to the conversation, NFL. Now do something. And I think that's the right attitude to have about it. You know, I can't argue with someone who says I don't believe them, but they now have the opportunity to follow their words with action.
I think the first step, and this isn't a step the NFL can do, because I don't think it would be viewed as anything other than a cheap publicity stunt. But, and I've said this before, either the 49ers or another team should hire him as a, not as a goodwill ambassador, but as somebody who can help players express their protest options more clearly. I don't know, you know, whether I want him as a football player anymore. I mean, if he really wants to do that, fine. But I think at this moment in the nation's history, he's more important in that role than he is either holding a clipboard or trying to get a 5-11 team to be 6-10. I think if the NFL was serious about that, a team would hire him to do that. If they were serious about that, you'd see owners answering questions about what they did 4 years ago and what they're doing now. If the NFL was serious about it, people in their league office should be on the streets marching. Because you've got to do at least that. Otherwise, it's just, as you said, just another crappily shot video from his rec room.
Let me mention, we have, as you've probably heard, officially shifted our text line number to match up with our call-in number, 888-957-9570. We'd love to know what you think here from the 669. We'll get right to you, Matt. Thanks for hanging on. I'll believe the NFL is serious when they support Kaepernick's foundations need to put their money where their mouths are.
Yeah. But that's... Go ahead, Ray.
Well, the money's easy, but if putting their money where their mouth is matters, maybe they ought to do it to the tune that Michael Jordan just pledged, which is basically $100 million over the next 10 years. Because that's money that even billionaires feel. You know,
the NFL
if you're
makes
serious
a lot.
About this, then mean it. Go you if you have to go over the top to do it, then do it. But do it because nobody buys your story yet.
The NFL makes a lot more money than Jordan Brand. They could very easily pledge $100 million. I think that's an excellent point. Money would be something. The point is, whatever that something is, if the NFL's contribution here stops at that video, their contribution is nil. That video is not a contribution. It's an acknowledgement that they ought to make one, right? So if you don't then make the contribution, then we know you were full of it. And that's what we're going to get to see. I was just saying that, you know, this, not to give them too much credit, but the video came out 45 minutes ago. Let's give them a day or two and see what happens. Let's check back on Monday and see if they've made any move, any actionable move towards contributing to the solution here. Have you done anything? I will say, the one thing this definitely does is step out of line with the presidential administration, which is something NFL owners have not been super inclined to do.
Right. Yeah. Do you think that's an indication that they think there's going to be a change in November, or is it just a matter of they're cornered
probably.
And they've got to make this stand regardless?
It's probably the former.
I don't even know if it's that, because most of the owners, when they give money to a political candidate, they either give to the Republican or they give to both parties to hedge their bets. Right now, this is bet hedging. But I think at least it opens them to the possibility that if things continue to shift in this country, can do what they always do, which is sort of follow the wind. You know, I think, you know, there are so many ways that the NFL could show that it's sincere about this, starting with allowing players to sort of protest the anthem or protest in any way they see fit that is not directly disruptive to the product on the field during the game.
Yes, I mean, last
take
night
away when, that I think go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Ray. Pardon me. I jumped on you there. I apologize. I was going to say though, last night when I heard Nate Burleson's comments about his grandfather. And I don't know if you guys played those, but that was my first reaction, is every player in the league this year should be kneeling. And it was, then we heard the video that came out last night. But I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, it's, you know, anybody can say anything. It's what you do. And the NFL has so much sort of stake in this now because they've made it. They've announced that they have stake in this. Now you've got to prove it, and you've got to prove it more than you think you do. In fact, frankly, at this point, Goodell and the 31 owners and the one president, and I mean Mark Murphy, need to go to their players and say, what do you need from us? Just tell us. And don't ask for anything in return. Don't make this a quid pro quo, you know, where you go, we'll do you a solid, but you have to do us this in response. It has to be an open-handed acknowledgement that they were wrong 4 years ago and that they mean to undo the damage they did. I think anything short of that makes this hollow.
This is where they could maybe take a cue from the NBA in that respect. That one of the reasons, you know, we've asked people, do they think they might see kneeling in the NBA? Because it is technically against the rules.
Right.
And pretty much everyone we've asked seems to agree that, no, we won't see that because the NBA listens. And so players don't feel like they need to protest in a way that draws the NBA's ire. They feel like they can make their voices heard as NBA players in participation with the NBA. And I think if the NFL made strides towards that kind of relationship, at least on social issues, then maybe the kneeling would become besides the point, which is really where we should head. Like, I fully support the protest in the form of kneeling, but it's also very clear that the whole kneeling thing has gotten way far away from the original point of the protest. And rather than continue to bicker about kneeling, I'd much rather focus on the problem of Black Lives Mattering and of police violence. That's what we should be talking about. So I think, you know, the sooner we can get away from the arguments about specifically kneeling, the better. And I think one way the NFL can do that is to foster a relationship with its players where the players feel like when they speak out about this sort of cause, they'll be supported.
Yeah.
On the text line from the 925, honest question, maybe you guys can answer this. Do the legal proceedings that took place between Cap and the NFL, are they allowed to address, admit wrong in regards to him? Was that part of the settlement? Was part of the settlement a gag order is what that question's getting at.
If it was, you can rescind it if both sides agree. So it's not it's not technically binding unless one party insists that it remains so.
It was theirs, and, right? And it's the NFL that wants the gag order, right? Kaepernick doesn't want the gag order.
I would presume. I don't know what's in the agreement. Nobody does, as far as I know, except the principals. But I cannot imagine that the Kaepernick side would suddenly object to the NFL
admitting wrongdoing.
If they were going to speak in a positive manner.
Yeah.
And that's from I think whatever's in the agreement, I mean, well, I know it's a rule of law. Basically, if both sides agree, there is no aggrieved party.
Right.
From the 510, NFL needs to cut Colin Kaepernick a check compensating for blackballing him out of the league and admit that that's what they did and then start adding money to his foundation. Until then, they're just tap dancing, Matt Kolsky. That, again, according to someone, I wish they'd put the name on it in the 510.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they ever admit blackballing him because that, you know, maintaining plausible deniability on that is pretty important. But and I'd be equally shocked if they paid him any sort of recompense. But donating to the organizations that he's highlighted would be a heck of a start. Yeah, agreed. And, you know, to the texter who says until then it's just tap dancing, I don't know that it has to be a donation to Kaepernick specifically, but until they take real action, he or she is absolutely right. This is just PR work that Roger Goodell did. Now, it's PR work that can be part of the path to real work, but you don't get too much credit till the real work starts.
If they were to make a donation to Kaepernick's
foundation, Know Your Rights Camp,
foundation,
or their,
yeah. I think they are entitled to at least be able to monitor how the money is being spent. But other than that, it's got to be an open donation. Say, here, you know, do what you need to do with this, you know, because I think the fraud statutes would cover whatever concerns they might have that he would keep the money. And I'm only saying that not because I think he would, because he's established pretty much how upfront he is, but that any sort of legal protection the league would want is already, you know, is already provided for in law.
I have a question for you both. You remember 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, other players were kneeling, and TV ratings were going down, and a lot of people suggested, well, the kneeling is not helping. And I read conflicting reports at the time. I read that, oh, yes, of course it's harming the ratings. I read that there's no evidence whatsoever that players kneeling is having an adverse effect on the ratings. It's possible that that's really difficult to determine. Do you know the answer? Because I think it's something that's relevant to bear in mind here as we evaluate what the commissioner had to say today.
I don't know that it's ever been established because you don't see, you know, you don't see how much they allegedly lost, and you don't see if they ever did any sort of audience outreach to find out why. So I'm going to assume that whatever happened was a 1 year downtick that can't be linked to Donald Trump one way or the other, because that's what that's about. If that in fact is true, we'll see it again this year. But if it's not, then that whole mythology is out the window.
I don't think it. Like, the TV viewership is down. There's weird ratings dips and spikes a lot in sports leagues year to year based on things that I think often have much more to do with what's actually on TV in terms of, like, who's injured, what teams are playing. Who, you know, I don't think there was ever enough data to establish a trend with any specific cause, you know? Were there a handful of people
answer unknown, yeah.
Yeah, there's a handful of people who probably did turn it off. A pretty small group, I would guess, because of the protests. There's probably a handful of people who turned it on in support of the protests. Like, I think that stuff generally comes out in the wash, and it's sort of a random collision of variables that determine these sorts of things, for my money.
Yeah, well, NFL players last night issued a video in which they demanded that the NFL admit they were wrong to discourage players from protesting. They wanted the NFL to admit that Black Lives Matter. The commissioner of the NFL did that in a video today. What do you think? 888-957-9570. Let's talk to Leo in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game. Thanks for listening, Leo. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
That's been a long couple months here with COVID and now with the demonstrations and what happened to Mr. Floyd. But as a mixed-race brown black man who's older than Ray, I certainly have a perspective about what I've seen over the years. And I think to some extent I agreed with Ray earlier when he said he wasn't as optimistic, although we can define what you gentlemen were referring to or defining by optimistic. I think one of the things that I find is difficult is that we look at sort of these, like where are the next steps? And I heard Ray say something to the effect, well, maybe the San Francisco 49ers should hire him in a front office position. And I think that's missing the point. I think as long as Cap wants to play, there should be an opportunity for him not to get a token job with, some Jacksonville team who's in a rebuilding mode. But there's a team out there that really needs a quarterback to compete. And I'll just say it up front without asking you guys who that team is, but it's the Patriots. Ironically, an interesting name for him to be attached to because they have two guys who are unproven who can actually run that team. And I doubt Belichick would ever do it because for him it would be too much of a distraction. But he needs to be given an honest opportunity to compete for a job if that's what he wants and allow his opportunity on the field, to determine whether or not he gets to play. And I think what happens is people are complaining about him not having a job. And I think people, if you go back in history, how things change in this country is a result of the power of people pulling together and exerting their power. And the most effective way of exerting their power in the history of this country, because it relates to civil rights and a number of other issues, is through not only protest, but follow-up that include boycotts. And probably one of the most significant boycotts that occurred in this country was the Montgomery bus boycott that occurred in the mid-1950s that lasted for over a year that resulted in the Supreme Court decision that declared Alabama and Montgomery law that segregated buses was unconstitutional. That's where you affect real change is when laws in this country are changed, not by giving somebody a front office job or I think the protests are just the first step in that. Kaepernick would have a job today. He would have a job or at least been given the opportunity to have a job if brown and black people and those who empathize with him, other white people, had boycotted the NFL because the only thing owners understand is their bottom line. Now, there were some, and it gets to this point that you made earlier, there were some polls that were conducted early on about the effects of the rating for football at that time when players were protesting by kneeling. And there were some people, there was a significant number of people who said, yeah, that's affecting how I feel about football. But there were a number of other things that the poll brought out. It was oversaturation. People that were interested in baseball playoffs. I can't recall what the other one is. But there were a number of other reasons. There was no single reason. But some of the people who were pushing a certain agenda latched onto that 50% or so that said it was people who were taking a knee. And so they manipulated that. So that's all we heard from that perspective. But again, I think what's going to change is when people demand, especially at the federal level, that our congressmen, whether they're senators or members of the House of Representatives, take action and that's what the federal government's for, is to take action in these locales that refuse to give people their civil rights. And until that's done, we're not going to see any effective change in this country. And the problem that we're facing now is from administration to administration, it's like one step forward, two steps back. We have an administration that might say, yes, it's the role of the Justice Department to make sure that people have their civil rights, and we're going to do things by holding police departments, as an example, accountable. We're going to do that. The next administration comes in, and they undo all that, and we're back to square one. So until
the
country starts pushing that, we're going to have the same problem.
thank you very much for listening, and thanks for your very thoughtful comments on 95.7 The Game.
I want to respond to one thing.
Please.
I didn't say that Kaepernick shouldn't play. If he wants to play, and somebody want, and I think whatever he wants is the preference I would want. I mean, I think he should get to choose how he wants to do this. My only point is, right now, I'm less interested in whether he can play or not than what he can do at a time when his voice and his support are needed elsewhere. I mean, if he wants to play, absolutely. But I'm just expressing what I would like to see in a perfect world where my opinion mattered. His opinion is the one that matters about his life. And I just want to make sure that Leo, wherever he is, understands that.
Yeah, and I certainly understand that about you, Ray. But I do want to add to Leo's point that Colin Kaepernick has consistently said that what he wants to do is play football. And I would also add that in terms of the social justice work that he's done, he's largely, one of the best things he's done is listen to people who know a lot more about it than him. And I think if you followed Colin Kaepernick through this whole process from being a, you know, backup quarterback nobody knew about to a starter to a protester and activist, I think you realize that a lot of what he's done, that's been a learning process for him. And we've watched him learn about these things in front of us. And I think that's the message. I don't know that you need him in a front office to tell NFL teams that they need to learn about this and listen and act. Because that, to me, is really what he's saying. He's not the expert. He's a guy who had a platform and wanted people to listen and learn and act. And so, to me, I think it might be as powerful a statement as any to see him in the NFL again as a player. In terms of what Colin Kaepernick can do for the movement, seeing the NFL put him back in, to me, might be as impactful as anything.
I would love to see him play again. I would love to watch him play. I just am assuming there's just virtually no way. He's been out of the game for so long. And I agree with you, Ray. I think he probably could spend, assuming that all, we know that all the causes that he sacrificed so much for, we know that they're very important to him. He can accomplish a lot more towards those goals by doing other things than playing. I'd love to watch him play as a football fan, but I don't see how it makes sense for him to play. He's certainly not going to be starting somewhere. He could back somebody up, and then if they get hurt, and there would be inadvertently a dog and pony show aspect to it that I don't know that would serve his purposes.
I want the choice to be his. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 32 years.
Go ahead.
He's 32 years old. NFL quarterbacks, especially backups, regularly hang on till 38, 39. If he could get a job in the league and hang around physically, there's no doubt in my mind he'd get a chance to start some games over that time. Think of how many games Ryan Fitzpatrick has started after he was cast off by various teams. And that's the whole problem. That's why it's so unbelievable that he hasn't had an opportunity for football reasons, right? That doesn't make any sense. Because every quarterback who's ever been any good as a starter gets chance after chance after chance for football reasons. So, you know, again, of course, the most important thing is he gets to make the choice. That's what we all want for Colin Kaepernick. But I do think it would be incredibly powerful for the movement for him to be back in the NFL.
As for the rest of it, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, sir.
I think the NFL, for the first time, has ever put itself in a place where it's actually uncomfortable, and I'll be interested to see how they handle that, because in the past when they've been uncomfortable, somebody else has put them there.
Yes.
This time, they're in that place because one of the most important members of their group has said, we screwed up. I don't remember the last time anybody in the NFL admitted to that.
And the arrogant NFL does not do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to give them credit for that because they've screwed up plenty over the years on things that they frankly should have been apologizing for over and over again. I want to see what they do to follow up. And I think part of it is getting Goodell out of his rec room. It's getting owners in front of cameras and reporters and explaining what they intend to do to back up this video and to see how long they're going to do it. Because I think this is a long haul thing. And I want to hear at least one owner, and maybe it's Ziggy Wilf, who is one of the few owners who's on the record as sort of decrying Trump's bullying, just to say, we're not taking a knee for you anymore. We found out what that got us. We found out what that got America. We're done listening to you. I'd like to hear some of that.
I don't give him credit either, but I think I'm with you. I think it's fascinating. Coming up, what is not to love about the NBA's return plan? We'll find out from ESPN's Kevin Arnovitz when he joins us, and that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank, still open to serve the community they love with full-service banking. No compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Friday, and Whitey's in for Damon today. Thank you to Damon for having me in. Thank you to Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky. I'm a little disappointed they have not requested that I do the German accent, which was so popular the last time I was on with them, but that's okay. We've had a lot going on today, and Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN is going to join us at the top of the hour to talk about the return of the National Basketball Association. What do you guys think of some of the, they're not even really plans, ideas that would help compensate teams that earned home court that aren't actually going to have home court because they're playing in the bubble? I'm sure you've heard about some of these ideas. Do any of them interest you? You got the Bucks. Hey, we got the best record. No home court. You got to give us a little something, something. Is that something that should seriously be addressed by the NBA?
To my way of thinking, no. You're the best team. You've got great players. Just do this. Mm-hmm. You know, if a team wins this championship, whatever team wins this championship, if it comes off, will have done something that no other team has ever done in an atmosphere that no team has ever done. They will have won a championship in a value-neutral setting in which the thing that gets you victory or defeat has nothing to do with anything other than your own work product.
Yeah, but Matt Kolsky, look, I worked so hard all season long during the number one seed in the entire league. That's one of the reasons we did that. We won all those games so we could have home court, and now we don't have home court. So you got to give us a little something-something, right?
Yes, I tend to agree with you, Whitey. That's the whole point. I mean, it's literally the advantage you play the regular season for.
Yes.
It's seeding and it's home court advantage. And while Ray's point about having the best team holds plenty of sway for me in the 1-8 matchup in the first round, home court can really matter in a conference final series where sometimes if it's close, things are really decided on the margins. And that's why, look, a lot of the ideas we've heard are stupid, okay?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's part of the problem here is everyone's like, hey, well, what do you think of installing some sort of home court advantage in one of these seven stupid ways? And everyone's like, this is stupid. But I think something simple like, you know, I saw a proposal where the home court team gets the ball to start the second, third, and fourth quarter after a jump ball.
I like it. Yes.
Yeah, something that gives a 1-4 possession advantage, because I think that's around what home court advantage does. And you played for the seeding, so let's give you something small. I would agree with
that. Is the one I could live with. But Ray, I'm with you on the ABA used to actually have a rule like this. They're kicking around, and these are, of course, the teams that would have home court, I think, that are proposing these ridiculous things. But, hey, we get to have one guy, since we earned home court, we don't have it. We get to have one player where he doesn't actually foul out until he commits his eighth foul. That, I think, then you're getting into unintended consequences, and that's just stupid.
It's all whining. You know what? Milwaukee leads by 6.5 games. The Lakers lead by 5.5. That's sufficient advantage. You know, do
what about when they play each other?
Life's cruel, and then you get a hip replacement. I don't want to hear it. Play. You don't need special little gifts like an extra mint on your pillow or a better hotel accommodation. You need to be as healthy as you can be, and then take your chances like adults do.
Well,
the fact that they've established that they're the best teams is more than sufficient advantage to do that.
I don't look at them as little gimmicks, little mints on the pillow. I look at them as ways to ensure the competitive integrity of the NBA. Home court means something in this game, Matt. Some of these teams have earned it. And you're right. The first round, whatever. You're going to beat the Wizards, Milwaukee, or whoever you play. But when you get into later rounds, hey, I honestly do think they deserve at least, I agree with you, you have the jump ball, and then the team with the best record gets the possession to start the second, third, and fourth quarters. That's something. That seems fair to me.
Yeah. Again, just a little something.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not sure what the argument against it is, really. Like, I understand Ray. I hear what Ray is saying, but that just seems like his desire not to have.
If Ray had his way, they wouldn't even dribble. If Ray had his way at basketball, you still wouldn't dribble. You just pass the ball. Right, Ray?
I don't know what Ray wants. I would never deign to know what Ray wants, but I will say that when it comes to this particular issue, it seems like just if we're trying to make things, you know, as close to reasonable and normal as possible, we want to provide some kind of home court advantage, and investigating ways to do that seems only reasonable to me.
If Ray had his way, correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, I don't think I am. If you had your way,
you're wrong.
You'd have you'd have Naismith's 9 original rules, and boom, there you go. That's my NBA rule book right there.
Well, that's very facile, but I don't know what it has to do with anything. The fact is, anything you throw into this that tries to normalize what is clearly an abnormal situation is, to me, nonsense. If the Lakers can't get out of the West, it's because at the time when they were asked to be the best under extraordinary circumstances, they couldn't do it. Same thing with the Bucks. They have exactly the same chance everybody else has, and they have the best players. If that is not sufficient advantage, anything after that,
but it's
is
not
trying
an advantage. That's just what that's just their team.
Okay,
home
but that's
court advantage is an advantage that is provided to you that is effectively a reward for doing well during the regular season.
But they can't have home court advantage because there is no home court. So you just say, okay, we don't have that.
Why?
Why do you
accept that? Yeah. Why not? Try
I not
to
only accept
it.
I demand it. You
but
know,
I,
stop
what
asking.
What I don't understand is why
I
is
don't
there
want,
why.
Because this one year, this one accidental, bizarre year, there is no home court advantage. That's it. That's the deal. You know, no, I don't think we want to. I don't want to gimmick up anything so that the best team gets an additional advantage to make up for the advantage that they don't have anymore. I don't get it. I don't see it. I think it's needless. If you're the best
team, know.
You can prove it under any circumstances.
I don't know how far they're going to get with it. My understanding is, as I said, it's the teams that would have home court that are trying to, hey, I got an idea. I don't see it as a gimmick. I don't know how far they're going to get.
Yeah.
But I think teams are entitled to that. I'm also very interested to find out. And by the way, just think how interesting this discussion would be if the Warriors were a top seed and how people would feel about that issue right now going forward. But I'm interested to see if teams that played very poorly on the road that are going to be in the playoffs, like Philadelphia, for example. I know we touched on this. So if there are no home or road games, do they actually benefit from not having any road games? I have no idea, but I'm going to be very interested to see.
Or is it that not that they're bad on the road, but in fact, they're really good at home? And will they struggle even more based on not having a home crowd? This is going to be one of the fascinating things about watching this NBA return, I think, is like, in some ways, I think we'll see the effects of home court, you know, and how that changes things. And certainly, I don't think there's any question we will noticeably see the effect in certain ways of the crowd not being there. And I'm fascinated to see what those sort of unintended consequences are.
They're going to pipe in crowd noise, right? So do they?
I think that's only for the broadcast, Whitey. I don't think they're going to pipe in crowd noise to the arena, are they?
Yeah. From Shannon Court, it would be into the arena.
So I'm wondering if that means whoever the home team is, they play it louder when they make a
Oh, I think for sure they would have to cater it. That's what they did in the soccer games.
Really? Okay.
The crowd noise on the broadcast.
Uh-huh.
Well, it is kind of absurd, but I think it'll actually feel more natural than the alternative when you're watching it, you know?
Mm-hmm. The thing I like about this is that about the NBA returning, the players just clearly want to play. And I know there are financial reasons. There are many reasons. I'm not saying they love the game, but I want to see in sports, when I'm watching sports, I want to see people who want to win as much as I want that team or the other team to win. And I get the sense NBA players really want to play basketball. Maybe that's not even wise given everything that's going on. Maybe they should be more cautious. But I think that ensures that I'm going to see as good of a product as I can. I know, Ray, you made the point. Basketball might not be very good, but if players are given their all and there's every indication that they will, then I crave that.
And you know what? A great game in terms of everyone playing their best doesn't always make the best product, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can have a great game where it doesn't look very good, but it's close and it's tense and guys are playing hard.
Yeah.
That's I'm not saying guys won't play hard. I'm saying that where teams don't shoot well.
I agree with you.
They'll be in a gymnasium with a much different background that isn't going to be darkened artificially. There's a lot of things that are going to make this weird. So embrace the weird.
No, yes. I agree with
Just
you.
Just embrace the weird. That's it. These are the conditions under which you're playing. Deal with it.
And at this time, I would like to welcome you to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Whitey in for Damon today. Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN should be joining us momentarily to talk more about the return of the NBA. It's official, the players ratifying the 22-team agreement. So we should get NBA basketball technically next month. But when you consider this is still early June and they're returning July 31st, it's like 2 months still. It's still 2 months to go. But
yeah,
nice to join us.
Well, go ahead, but we can ask Kevin Arnovitz this. Will there be preseason games?
I don't think so. We'll find out. Maybe some scrimmages. NBA writer for ESPN, the magazine, co-host of the Pack Your Knives podcast, Kevin Arnovitz. Nice enough to join us. Happy Friday, Kevin. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're excited about the NBA, and obviously it's been a long week. It's nice to have some sports to distract us for just a moment here. Of course, you don't want to be too distracted from the important things going on. But how does the way the final playoff seeds, the way they'll determine that, how does that grab you, Kevin Arnovitz, the possibility for what they're calling a tournament between the 8 and the 9 seed in each conference?
Yeah, it's not really a tournament, right? I mean, it's sort of a resolution, if we will call it. I'm fine. I think there's someone's run the numbers, I'm sure, it's simulations, but I suspect there's a 50-50 chance of it going off. Certainly, I don't think it's going to happen in the East, and in the West, we'll probably get an 8-9. It's good. I'm somebody who's a big proponent of an actual play-in down the road, and I was hoping that we could launch this as a pilot program. It's just not going to happen this season. It's an interesting structure. I'm listening to you guys before I came on, I'm interpreting that in many ways these 8 regular season games are functioning as a preseason to the extent that preseason games are there to get guys into rhythm and in shape. And, I think rightfully they didn't want their first meaningful games to be game 1 of the playoffs, especially when you consider, and you were just talking about, we're still 2 months away, like these guys are going to have endured, I would say endured, but a longer off season than they would normally have. When you also consider, what have they been doing? I don't know, playing video games, eating takeout and whatever you can find in the house. Forget, no team nutritionist around, no two-a-days, no Drew League, no workouts, you know, at your favorite workout place. I mean, these guys are going to probably need more conditioning than they ever have. And this is like something out of 1979 where the guys rolled into training camp with cigarettes and like, you know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.